Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come before your presence to worship you. We thank you for your presence with us. We pray that as we unite our hearts to hear what you have to say to us, that the Spirit of God may have the freedom to speak. And that as we hear, we may also receive well. And that you may be pleased to grant us insight into the truth, what you revealed in the scriptures, what you intend to communicate to us, that more and more we may appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done and accomplished on our behalf, what he ought to mean to us each day. We commit to you our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject, the fulfillment of God's purposes, the 82nd message. We are considering the Lord Jesus Christ, the third message. The topic for today, Christ, knowledge of God, truth, and spiritual insight. Christ, knowledge of God, truth, and spiritual insight. A summary for today's message. The importance of knowledge of God, truth, and spiritual insight, and the centrality of the person and role of Christ in enabling us to enter into these realities. In the last message, we considered Christ, the revelation of God and what is in the heart of God, that he reveals to us who God is, what is in God's heart, and how God wants us to live. He is the light of the world, the Word of God, the way, the truth, and the life. For men to participate effectively in the outworking and fulfillment of God's purposes, it is essential for us to know God, to know what is in his heart, and how he wants us to participate and work out his purposes together with him. So it's very important that we have light and knowledge of God and truth, and Christ is the way to these realities. Today I wish to continue with our consideration of this subject. I'll be considering with you the importance of knowledge of God, truth, and spiritual insight, and the centrality of the person and role of Christ in enabling us to enter into these realities. We have seen the Apostle Paul uses the word mystery in his epistles to the Ephesian and Colossian believers to refer to the revelation of what has been in God's heart pertaining to his plan and purposes, including how they are to be worked out and fulfilled. And we've seen that Paul tells us the meaning and content of the mystery can be summed up in the word or the person Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. We can say the revelation of the mystery in the sense of what has been kept secret in ages past, but revealed at the time of Christ, that it begins with the Lord Jesus coming into this world. The word becoming flesh and dwelling amongst men. John chapter 1 verse 14. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's a reference to the incarnation. And the Lord Jesus, we've seen in the previous message, is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his nature. As he came to this world, man was able not to behold Christ, the man, but also the God-man, and know who God truly is. I mentioned the revelation of mystery begins with the Lord Jesus Christ coming to this world. We can say it's through his preaching, his teaching, but also through his person, and also the key events of his death and resurrection. He is the perfect example of the perfect man, what men ought to be. That's helpful for us so that we know how God wants us to be and to become. But not only that, he is also the one who enables men to be what men ought to be. The first step is to understand what God wants us to be and to become. But if it's just that, it's of no use. We'll only be frustrated. The Lord Jesus not only shows us by being the perfect example, but He is the one who enables us. It becomes feasible. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is also the one who enables us to participate effectively in the fulfillment of God's purposes in Him, in Christ. All this became possible with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our appreciation, the role and the person of the Lord Jesus is enhanced when we appreciate in greater measure the importance of knowledge of God and truth, spiritual insight, and also to recognize this must go together with appropriate positive response. And this is what I want to consider with you now. Let us turn to Hosea chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. There are several passages in the book of Hosea that is relevant in our consideration of this subject. Hosea chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. So you will stumble by day, and the prophet also will stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. My children are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. The key sentence I want to draw attention to is in verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. This is true not only in Hosea's time, but throughout the ages and still true today. It's vital that we have true knowledge. And without true knowledge, we will not be able to live well. In fact, not only that, here in Hosea, verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed. Not just not able to live well, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And in this context, there's also a relevant issue or factor that we can bear in mind here, and that is the failure of those responsible for helping the people in this important area, the prophets and the priests. The prophets, if you read through the whole of Hosea, they were not fulfilling their part. Here they are also in verse 5 says they are stumbling. And verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I also reject you from being my priest. So the priest and the prophets, they are key people meant to help the people, but they failed miserably in the fulfillment of their responsibility. So of course they will be judged by God, but not only their lives, the people were also adversely affected by their failure. It has a bearing. Deficiency in true knowledge of God and His ways can be fatal. It can be and is reflected in a life of lawlessness and wickedness. You see the preceding verses in chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Listen to the word of God, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore, the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes. Along with the beasts of the field, and the birds of the sky, and also the fish of the sea disappear. God was angry with the nation of Israel, and He says, listen, the Lord has a case against the inhabitants. There's no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. A very key aspect of failure, of lack of knowledge, is the lack of knowledge of God. no knowledge of God, and this is reflected in a life of wickedness and evil, swearing, deception, murder, stealing, adultery, violence, and everyone who lives in this land languishes. Verse 3. And if you look at chapter 14, the last part. So the people without understanding are ruined. This chapter and these various verses in Hosea tells us knowledge is extremely important, and lack of knowledge can be fatal. As we go along, it will become clearer to us what is the kind of knowledge that is critical. However, if we look at these verses, we may think that if we have a desire to know the Lord, desire to know His ways, then that may resolve our problem. But we'll see again in Hosea, affirmation of turning to the Lord, expression of a desire to know Him, and even expression of confidence in Him, all this may sound good, but it is still inadequate, and it may not help us unless there is deep commitment to Him and His instructions and His ways. Otherwise, even doing many things in the name of the Lord may not be acceptable to Him. As we look at some of these verses, it's important to look to the Lord that He have the freedom to speak to us. In what way these verses are relevant to our own lives, in what way we need to change. Let us look at Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Let us first look at verses 1 to 3. And as we read through these verses, we find that it sounds very good. And if we do not read on, we may think, that's it. It's a healthy state of affairs. But is it? Chapter 6, reading from verse 1. Come, let us return to the Lord, for He has torn us, but He will heal us. He has wounded us, but He will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day, that we may live before Him. So this sounds good. It sounds right. Come, let us return to the Lord. It seems very hopeful. And verse 3, even more so. So let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn. And He will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. And we may think that if someone would express these words, or a group of people would express these words, would say these things, then that would be wonderful. And if someone is living a life displeasing to God, we think that if only we can communicate these 3 verses to them, and they can be in agreement, it will be wonderful. To want to return to the Lord, to press on, to know God, and the confidence in God, not to lose heart, that God will revive them, He will come to us like the rain watering the earth. But it is not so. Why? Reading from verse 4. This is the response of the Lord. The first 3 verses are the words of the Israelites. But now from verse 4, the response of God. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? We wonder, why is it God respond in this way? The Israelites seem so positive in their response. Then why does God respond to the Israelites in this way? The reason comes in the next part, in the second part of verse 4. For your loyalty. Loyalty can also be translated as steadfast love. For your loyalty is like a morning cloud. Loyalty, this word is actually a very strong word, a very rich word in the Old Testament text. But instead of the steadfast love, the loyalty here, God says, your so-called loyalty is like a morning cloud and like the dew which goes away early. It sounds good, but your so-called loyalty is like the cloud and like the dew which goes away early. There's no strength in your commitment. There's no quality behind the words that you say, the meaning. It is superficial. It is words without the reality from the heart. There's no strength in it. Sometimes, even believers may say things like that, and there may be some degree of sincerity, but it may still be in the direction of the first three verses in chapter 6. That there is no depth of commitment. And we look at verse 5, the judgment of God. In spite of those things that they say in the first three verses, therefore I have hewn them in pieces by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. And the judgments on you are like the light that goes forth. God was not pleased. The judgment of God. Verse 6 tells us what God is really interested in, what God is really looking for. For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. So there's nothing wrong with loyalty. It is just that their loyalty is only inverted commas. The real loyalty that God looks for, it was not there. Because loyalty, as I mentioned, this word here is a very strong word, a steadfast love. And God delights in true loyalty rather than just sacrifices, outward, various things that may say or even offer, and the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings, a true knowledge of God and that relationship with God, their heart's devotion to God. But like Adam, they have transgressed the covenant. There they have dealt treacherously against me. So they may say words that sound correct. They may also do various things that may seem to be expression of worship of God. But their lives, their action, their conduct shows that that inner reality of true commitment was not there. Their transgressions and their dealing, responding treacherously. It may not, the things that they say and do may not, on the face of it, be directed against God. But God still describes it as dealt treacherously against me because they have failed to abide by his commandments, even though they express in words that sounds right and good, and even express confidence in God. As we saw just now in verses 1 to 3, come, let us return to the Lord. He will heal us, he will bandage us, he will revive us, that we may live before him. So let us be careful. There are many words of assurances, promises in the scriptures. But it's not enough just to know that there are these assurances in the scriptures and then seek to claim them. If in fact, in our hearts, we are not responding positively to God. There isn't that depth of commitment to him and his instructions and his ways. If our lives are not in conformity with his instructions, then we have no right to affirm with confidence the assurances God has given to us in the scriptures for those who love him, for those who walk with him. How then should we go about it? Is it not right that there should be this longing to know the Lord, his ways? Is there a place for us to be confident in the Lord? Yes, there is. But what is vital is that there must be the heart's longing, not just words, profession of the lips, the heart's longing to know the Lord and His will and His ways because we want to live accordingly. If that is there, even though there are weaknesses, there are failures, but we are sincere, the Lord will help us. But there must be this deep longing to know the Lord and His ways because we want to live accordingly. Let's turn to Psalms 119, verses 33 to 36. Psalms 119, verses 33 to 36. Verse 33. If you wish, you can mark out these two verses, 33 and 34, as two key verses in the scriptures. If you can memorize these two verses, understand what they mean, and seek to abide by it, it can ensure a life of deep meaning and fruitfulness and well-being. Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. If we can say this from our hearts and we mean it, it will be well with us. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. A desire for the Lord to teach us, to understand the truth. Yes, that is very important, but it must go on, be accompanied by the second aspect. And I shall observe it to the end. It's no use the Lord teaching us many things if we are not prepared to abide by it, to live it out. Verse 34, same direction. Give me understanding, a longing to understand. This is very important. We've seen earlier in Hosea, the people destroyed for lack of knowledge, ruined because of lack of knowledge. Wanting to know, to understand is very, very important. But that in itself is still not sufficient. Give me understanding must be accompanied by that I may observe your law. And further strengthened by the second part of the verse, and keep it with all my heart. This is what God was looking for in Hosea. He delights in this kind of loyalty to Him and the appropriate response to His ways and His instructions. A desire to understand the ways of God and a desire to keep it with all our hearts. Let's go on to verse 35. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. It's not a grudging thing. We delight to walk in God's ways. And also a consciousness that we need the Lord's help to walk in His ways. Verse 36, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. The ways of God can at times be difficult. We need to ask the Lord to help us, that our hearts may be set in that direction. We will not deviate. We will not go astray. We will not be distracted. Seeking to understand the ways of God and what God has revealed in the scriptures can also be a difficult thing. We need to ask the Lord to help us, to give us understanding, to incline our hearts to persevere in our seeking to understand what He has revealed, and always with this deep desire to observe, to keep, to live out what God has shown to us. God will be pleased to grant spiritual insight to those with such spirit and attitude, and spiritual insight is essential. Again, in Psalm 119, now let us look at verses 99 and 100. Verse 99. How can we have true spiritual insight? Verse 99. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged because I have observed your precepts. It's interesting, isn't it? We can even rise higher than our teachers. Of course, this must not be said in foolishness, in foolish pride. But it is a fact that is possible. We can rise even higher than our teachers, and we can have more insight than our teachers, those who teach us. How can this be true? Your testimonies are my meditation. You pay attention. You don't just simply hear and then forget about it. You pay attention, you ponder over it, you consider what does it mean, what are the implications, and then you observe, you live it out. Verse 100, I understand more than the aged because I have observed your precepts. True insight, true understanding goes together with the careful consideration, pondering, seeking to understand the truth, and then careful observation, living it out. It would be wonderful if all of us and each one of us were to reflect on what God has revealed to us in these verses in Psalm 119, and that it may become real and true in our lives. And now I want to go on to consider with you the significance of spiritual insight. All these are major sub-issues which can take messages to cover, but I do not intend to do that, but just some brief remarks from certain angles for us to appreciate these important issues. And we are now considering this in the light of our seeking to appreciate the person and the role of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the Word of God. The significance of spiritual insight can be appreciated in different ways, but now I want to refer to a few verses in the book of Daniel, where the significance of spiritual insights comes through very strongly. And especially for us living in the last days, we may wonder, we may at times think, how can I be equipped for the last days? There's one aspect of it that's highlighted in the book of Daniel, in the last two chapters. Let's first turn to Daniel, chapter 11, verse 33. From what I'm able to appreciate of the context of this verse, it is in the context of the last days. Verse 33. Those who have insight among the people will give understanding to the many. How can we help others in the last days? One very important area is to help others to understand. But how can we help others to understand unless we ourselves have true insight? So a key, important characteristic that's highlighted of those who are able to help others to fulfill a significant role in the last days, it is those who have spiritual insight. They will have a significant role in the last days, and spiritual insight is important for ministry to others. If you want to help others, then you must have spiritual insight. Without spiritual insight, you are blind. How can you help others? Like the Lord Jesus says, the blind leading the blind. That will be a terrible thing. Both will fall into the pit. But those who have insight among the people will give understanding to the many. Not only that, we'll go on to see in the last book, or rather in the last chapter of the book of Daniel. Again, not only spiritual insight highlighted, but that it will have a bearing on our state in eternity. Daniel chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. By the way, the context of verse 33, I mentioned the last days. If you look at verse 35, it says, some of those of insight will fall in order to refine, purge, and make them pure until the end time. And I won't go into the details now. The context of these verses in Daniel, it does point in the direction of the context of the last days and the end time period. Let's now look at verses 2 and 3 of Daniel chapter 12. Verse 2. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life. This is the reference to the resurrection. Verse 3, or before verse 3, we'll finish the rest of verse 2. But the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. So this is a reference to the end times. At the end of it all, there will be the resurrection, some to everlasting life, others to everlasting contempt. And then verse 3, as I see it, is pointing in the direction of eternity. Those who have insight will shine brightly, like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. So the first part of verse 3, the spiritual insight, or rather the spiritual insight we have, has a bearing on our state in eternity. Those who have insight will shine brightly, like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And this will carry on in eternity. How brightly we shine is a reference to the quality of being and the quality of the meaning of our lives and our place in eternity. But it's also helpful in verse 3 here to take note that true spiritual insight here, it has a moral dimension to it. And it goes together with love for righteousness. Like the renewed mind mentioned by Paul in Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 and will be reflected in the ministry of such a one. It says here, those of insight will shine brightly and those who lead the many to righteousness. True spiritual insight comes from the Lord. And I mentioned it's like the renewed mind mentioned by Paul in Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2. Paul tells us to consecrate our lives to God as a living sacrifice, and it says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So the renewing of the mind is a very important part and aspect of the transformation. So it has a moral, positive moral, spiritual dimension to it, the renewed mind. And the spiritual insight here that in these verses in Daniel is along similar directions. It's not just a mental thing. Yes, the mind understands, but the heart goes together with it. It's true insight. And it goes together with transformation of lives, a love for righteousness, and a desire to help others in the same direction. Those who lead the many to righteousness. It's not just knowledge, full stop, understanding, full stop. So we can say the spiritual insight and the renewed mind is an integral part of the transformed life. We want to grow in quality of meaning of life and quality of being. The renewed mind is an integral part. Spiritual insight is an integral part. It's an important part of it. In the last message, we saw the relationship between light and life. In John chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Or rather, maybe let's turn to John chapter 1. Verse 4, referring to the Lord Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. It was the life of the Lord Jesus that brings forth the light, that gives forth light, that results in light to others. The light that shines forth, the life that gives forth the light. But we have also seen that this light, as it shines forth, because of the life in it, can also minister life to others, resulting in the light of life. As we follow Christ, the light of the world, we will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John chapter 8, verse 12. So this we have looked at in the earlier message, the relationship between light and life. But I will now want to consider briefly with you, helpful also to take note of the relationship between the Word of God and light. All these are key issues, and it's helpful for us to see their interrelationships. Again, let us turn to Psalm 119, now verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Gives us this idea, communicates to us that God's word can result in light. It helps us to see the way we should walk, the way we should live. So it's important for us to understand what God has spoken, what God has revealed. But I also want to point out that it is not the words in the scriptures itself. Just the mere text does not necessarily ensure that there will be light. As we go on, we'll see that it is not just the text and the words of scriptures in themselves that gives light. It's important that we go on to understand what is it that God has spoken, revealed. What is He trying to communicate to us in the scriptures? It is the opening up, the unfolding of the truth of what God has revealed in the scriptures that results in light. Again, Psalm 119, now verse 130. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. It's possible to read the scriptures and not understand what it's talking about. And then there is no light. It is the unfolding of what God has spoken, what God has revealed, that gives light, that gives understanding. The word translated unfolding in the Hebrew lexicon is opening, unfolding, is opening up. So this is something very important for our own reading of scriptures and also in our seeking to understand. As I go on, this will become clearer. By the heart of it, it's important for us to know that we need to pay heed to what God has spoken and what God has revealed, especially through the scriptures. I say especially through the scriptures because God can still speak to us in many different other ways. But in particular, we must pay heed. The scriptures has been preserved by God for us, inspired by God for us, for our teaching, to equip us that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work, that we will not be deceived by the evil one, we will not be led astray by false teaching, that we may know God, God's ways, and how to live. We must pay heed. Then we will have light, and we can have the light of life. We have seen the Lord Jesus is the light of the world, so that we may follow Him and have the light of life. We have seen that He is the Word of God. Let us pay heed to what He has spoken and taught, as well as the total meaning of His coming into this world. Much of it can be found in the Gospels, but not only in the Gospels, it is actually in the whole Bible. At the very heart of scriptural revelation is to help us to understand the Lord Jesus and the total meaning of His person, His ministry, and what God intends to accomplish in Him and through Him. But it's not just the text that's recorded there. We need to come to know him personally. And he must come alive to us. And the most helpful is to come directly to the Lord Jesus. And even when he speaks to us through other means, through circumstances, through people, or even through the scriptures, it's important for us to hear him speaking to us. There is such a reality. As God, as the Lord Jesus, his light shining into our hearts and minds, that we may appreciate the truth. It comes alive to us. He is the Word of God. It's the living Christ, the risen Christ. In him and through him, God seeks to communicate to us what is in his heart and the way to the fulfillment of God's purposes. Let us listen to him. We saw this in the previous message, at the Mount of Transfiguration. God wants us to listen to his beloved Son. Let us learn to fix our eyes on him at all times, in all situations, and especially in times of more concentrated trying to understand the will of God and what God is seeking to communicate to us. However, it is important for us not only to read the scriptures, but to try to understand the meaning of what is written. We must pray to God, ask the Holy Spirit to open up, to unfold what is written in the scriptures, so that we may understand and have spiritual insight into what God is seeking to communicate to us. As I mentioned, you can read the scriptures many times, again and again and again, but there is no light. Can that happen? Yes. We must look to God. We must ask the Spirit of God. We must ask the Lord Jesus to help us, the Word of God himself, to help us to understand, that we may have spiritual insight into what God is seeking to communicate to us. It is vital that there is this unfolding and opening up of what is written in the scriptures, so that we understand the meaning and the implications, and this will result in increasing spiritual insight. And this needs to be a continuing experience and reality in our lives. So it's important for us to pay careful attention in this regard. Whether it be God granting us insight into the truth in our own reading of the scriptures, or through the ministry of those whom God has raised to help build up the body of Christ in this manner. And this is a very important aspect of the building up of the body of Christ and our working in church life. And we need to pray that God will raise up, and also God will help those whom he has called to be able themselves to see, to have the spiritual insight and able to communicate. And those at the receiving end, when you are hearing, that God will enable us to receive. That what is written in the scriptures will be opened up to us, unfolded, and that we may receive, understand, see accurately, wholesomely, in all its width, depth, and richness. And at the very heart of it, and this is a very major aspect of what I've been trying to communicate over the years, at the very heart, at the very core center of what God wants to communicate to us, is Christ. And what God intends for us in him. And how God intends to fulfill his purposes through the Lord Jesus Christ and in Christ. Let us pray and look to the Lord together that he may grant us spiritual insight into these things. And not just merely hearing about these concepts, but we do not really know what they mean. It's important for us to have spiritual insight and then to absorb the truth so that it becomes a part of our lives, so that it molds us. It shapes our thinking, our perspective, our values, our motivation in life, our direction, our priorities. It affects and is reflected in our daily lives, how we live. Is this how we look to the Lord to help us to understand the truth? That is needful, that is vital. I'll go on to the concluding segment of today's message. It is helpful for us to see the interrelationship between four things. One, what God has spoken, revealed. Two, light. Three, life. Four, the way we live. What God has spoken, revealed, this can result in light. And this light can minister life, and it will also and can help us in the way we live. We've actually already seen these things, but we'll look at a few, just maybe two verses that speaks to us in this same direction. Again, Psalm 119, verse 14. You notice I keep referring to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, at the very heart of it, a major theme of it, has to do with the ways of God, the truths of God, God's instructions, and the importance of it, and how we can see, understand, live it out, and its implications and significance for our lives. So what we are talking about today, Psalm 119 has a lot to say, and if you read through the whole of Psalm 119, you'll find that it will grant you a lot more, a much richer, fuller understanding of what we are talking about today. I've just referred only to a few verses. Psalm 119, verse 14. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. Your testimonies, what God has spoken, what God has revealed, this gives light and understanding, and it results in life and the way we live. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding, they are related, that I may live. That I may live can communicate to us that I may live in the sense of experience of the kind of life that God desires of us, truly live. Because you don't need God's testimonies to be alive physically. But this life is in the direction of the abundant life that the Lord Jesus is talking about. The kind of life God wants us to live. That I may live can also communicate to us, to help us to understand how we ought to live. There's a bearing on our way of life. Let's now look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. The commandments, teaching, this represents God's instructions and ways. And we can say what we now have in the scriptures, what God has revealed in the scriptures. And this brings results in light, the potential in that direction. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light. And this is related to the way of life. It leads to life and how we should live. And reproofs for discipline are the way of life. Although the second part says reproofs for discipline, bear in mind, in Proverbs like that, the two verses are related. So the reproofs for discipline is related to God's instructions, commandments, what He has revealed, what He is teaching us. They are the way of life. It helps us, it leads to life, the way of life, and also shows us how we should live. As we live out what we understand, which is very, very important. We saw earlier in Hosea, when this is not there, it is of no value. But as we live out what we understand, then God will be pleased to reveal more to us. I now want to crystallize in one sentence, a bit long, of some major issues we've been considering, for us to take note of. The more we live by what we have come to understand, the more God will teach us and reveal to us, and grant us increasing light and quality of life, enabling greater strength and stamina to live out well what we understand. The more we live by what we come to understand, so the first part we need to understand, spiritual insight is important, but there's a degree. How faithfully are we living it out? But the more we live out what we understand, then the more God will teach us and reveal to us. It doesn't stop there. God will teach us more. He will reveal to us more. And will grant increasing light, as well as quality of life. As we live it out, the quality of life will also grow, together with the increasing light, and enabling greater strength and stamina to live out what we understand. The quality of life will grow, and together with that, there will be strength and stamina, and we will now be able to live out even better what we understand. And this is the way that it should be. So there will be increasing insight, increasing absorption, increasing quality of life, resulting in greater strength to live out, greater faithfulness, and then there will be further light. And that's how it ought to be for those who love the Lord. This is not just a possibility. It can't be our actual experience. And it's important that this is the reality. Otherwise, it can be the other direction. The less we live out what we understand, the less light we have, the less we know, the more we go into darkness, the less strength to live out, the less we'll know, and we'll go downhill in increasing darkness. Finally, let us take note that the Lord Jesus is all four. Four, all four in what sense? He is the Word of God. He is the true light. He is the life. And He is the way. I mentioned just now the interrelationship between the four. What God has spoken, revealed, light, life, the way we live. The Lord Jesus is all four, referring to all these four. He is the Word of God, what God has spoken, revealed. He is the true light. Number two, light. Number three, life. He is the life. Number four, the way we live. He is the way. So one, He is the Word of God. We must listen to Him. Hear God. God wants to communicate to us in His Son, the Word of God. This is vital. Yes, we can learn from others. But even when we are learning from others or learning from situations, it's important that we hear what God is speaking, what the Lord Jesus is communicating to us through that person. If all we hear is just the words of men, it will be of no use to us. And those who try to teach us, if what they are teaching us is from themselves, it originates from themselves, it will not bring true light nor life. Ultimately, it must be the Lord speaking to us through others, or through situations, or even through the scriptures. As I say, the text in itself, in the scriptures, also will not help us. So those who seek to help others must first learn from the Lord and seek to communicate by the Lord's enabling, and those who seek to learn must ultimately concentrate on what God is seeking to teach us, not just what man is trying to teach us. Two, He is the true light that enlightens us. John chapter 1 verse 9. There was a true light which coming into the world enlightens every man, that we need no longer walk in the darkness but might have the light of life. How? By coming to Him, the true light. Let His light shine in our heart and mind. Are we looking to Him? Are we open to Him? What He has to say to us? Will we let His light shine? It may seem so obvious, so good. But the Lord Jesus has told us, it's recorded in the scriptures, that there are those who prefer the darkness, who will not come to the light. light is not always comfortable. Especially now we are talking about this receptivity to the light, absorption of the truth and living it out. It's not easy. The light of the Lord, when He shines in our hearts and mind, will also expose all that is wrong, ugly in our lives. Are we willing for the darkness and for the ugliness and all that is not right to be exposed? And then the need to take steps. But that is vital. Let us look to Him that His light may shine in our heart and mind. 3, He is the life. He is the way, the truth, the life. He is the source of life. And we must abide in Him just as the branches must abide in the vine. We must be continually nourished by His life. We must continually walk in fellowship with Him, abide in Him. Never walk on our own. No matter how much you've learned, you've grown. In fact, the more we've learned, the more we've grown, the more, the stronger must be our abiding in Him, and the richer must be our drawing forth from His life. And whoever we want to help, we must help them to abide in Christ. Dependent on Him and not dependent on us. But yes, God does want us to care for one another, to help one another, and to be appreciative of all those who can help us. But they can only help us to the degree they can help us to know the Lord and to abide in Him and to understand His ways and His teachings. Finally, He is the way. Walk in Him. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. This is a reference to all of us, I suppose. It's a reference to all who have received Christ, all who are Christians. And all of us should be Christians. But it doesn't stop at that. Receiving Christ as our Savior, He says, walk in Him. Therefore, it follows, if you have received Him, you must now walk in Him. But this walk in Him has a direction. It is not walking, this walk is not keep on walking on the same area, on the same ground, on the same level. There's a direction. It goes forward, it goes upwards. Verse 7, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him, as we walk in Him, we will continue to grow. And that is an integral part of healthy Christian living. God wants us to grow. And we grow as we abide in Him and walk in Him, as we hear what He has to say to us, as we let His light shine in our hearts and minds, and as our spirit responds to Him in truth, in love, in obedience, in faithfulness. Firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. We must become firmly rooted, established in our faith. Let us not receive the instructions in vain, and may our hearts always be overflowing with gratitude to the Lord, His goodness and grace toward us. So all this will result in increasing wisdom and knowledge, which are found in Christ. The immediate context, verse 3. Paul says, Christ, verse 2, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. As we walk in Him, firmly rooted, built up in Him, there will be increasing wisdom and knowledge, which are found in Christ. And also, increasing quality and richness of life in Christ. Again, in the immediate context, in verse 2. We'll end with this. Chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says, I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf for those and for those who are at Laodicea and for all those who have not personally seen my face. You can see this, God, this is Paul's desire, earnest desire and prayer for all, which includes us. that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself. For our hearts to be encouraged, knit together in love, attaining to all the wealth that God intends for us, all the fullness and richness of life that God desires for us. It comes together with the full assurance of understanding. Here is a true understanding of spiritual insight into a true knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. It's vitally linked to the person of Christ. True spiritual insight into who Christ is and all that He ought to mean to us, and to enter into all that God desires for us in Him, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We've seen earlier the importance of knowledge, spiritual insight, knowledge. But this must go together with a positive response to walk in Him, firmly rooted, built up in Him, established in our faith, overflowing, hearts overflowing with gratitude. Let us now, as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper, reflect over God's intentions for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Word of God, the true light, the way, the truth, and the life. Let us ask the Lord to help us to appreciate the importance of true knowledge and spiritual insight for our own development and also vital for ministry. If we want to help others, we must first have spiritual insight. Then we can help others to have spiritual insight and true knowledge. Without knowledge and insight, we'll remain in darkness. But this desire for spiritual wisdom, knowledge, understanding, insight must go together with a deep desire to walk according to what we have understood. Like the psalmist crying out to God, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart." And all this is vital that we fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus, the Word of God. Let us listen to Him. Hear what God wants to communicate to us in His Son. He is the true light. Are we allowing His light to shine in our hearts and minds, so that we will not remain in darkness, but might have the light of life? Let us not be presumptuous, thinking that we are already children of God. We have known God, we have walked with Him for many years. Let us recognize that as His children, even disciples of Christ for many years, there can still be areas of darkness in our hearts. There can still be areas of darkness in our minds. Let His light shine. Let the darkness be exposed, even whatever is ugly, that we may see, recognize, and be delivered. Let us look to Him to strengthen us, to help us to abide in Him and He in us, that we may continually be strengthened, refreshed by His life. Let us ask Him to teach us how to walk in Him, firmly rooted, built up in Him, that we may attain to all the richness of life that God desires and intends for us in Him, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the depth of your love toward us. Thank you for all that you've done and provided for us, especially in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you help us to grow in our appreciation of him, our knowledge of him, and that we may learn how to listen to what he has to say to us, directly or through others. We pray that as we read the scriptures, we may understand, and there may be others who can help to open up the truth to us. Grant us spiritual insight and a heart that longs to know the truth because we want to walk in it. We recognize we are weak in ourselves, but we know that we can be strong in you. Help us not to be presumptuous. We live in a fallen world with many temptations, distractions. We have a formidable foe, and it's easy for us to be deceived by the evil one and his wiles. Help us to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ and he in us, to know how to walk in him, in truth, in light, constantly nourished by his life. Thank you that we can live our lives together with the brethren, learn and grow together, uphold and encourage one another. Thank you now for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. We thank you that regularly we can come together in this way to be strengthened, refreshed in him. We ask that the Spirit of God may have the freedom to search our hearts. The light of Christ may shine in our heart and mind to expose, to show forth whatever is displeasing in your sight, that we may recognize, pay heed to what you have to say to us, and take appropriate steps accordingly. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.